back in session. We're going to move on to item 7B, county clerk.
All right. This is something we do pretty much every election. This is appointments in lieu of election to various special districts. We have some at the beginning, Exhibit A, which are districts that people had already filed declarations of candidacy. And we have Dunsmuir Fire Protection for short term, Jimmy Palmer and Robert Clark. Scott Valley Fire Protection District full term, Larry Alexander and Gregory Ryan. Scott Valley Fire Protection District short term, Gregory Lindholm. Happy Camp Sanitation District full term for Gary Hahn and Robert Ronsey. Sawyers Bar Water District full term, Brett DeKnight. And Sawyers Bar Water District short term, Brendan Tweek. Those we do have already are kind of an automatic. I just need a motion. Whether you want to do each district separately, we can, or we can do it all as one.
Do it all at once.
I think we can do it all at once.
Move to approve all.
All of them. Thank you. All right. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsak.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ober.
Aye.
Okay. And then the others have... notes here, hang on just a sec. Okay. Butte Valley Fire Protection District full term. I have one position. I have not received any emails or requests from anybody to be considered. Mr. Harris, that is your district. Have you have anybody in mind to appoint in the election?
No.
Okay. And then there's also Butte Valley Fire short term two positions. I plan on bringing this, asking this be continued to the 21st. So if you get some names, would you bring them on the 21st so we can get them appointed?
I will.
Thank you. All right. What is next? Copco Fire Protection, three positions, full term. Anybody there?
No.
Also, two short terms, so basically all five of those members of Copco, their positions are up. Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela, Dunsmuir Fire Protection District. Have you heard from anybody?
No.
Would you bring somebody back on the 21st?
I will try.
Thank you. And also, there were two full terms and one short term, so three people total. And then for Gazelle Fire Protection District, full term, Mr. Kobsev, we had Rebecca Bridwell and Christy Beck, both emailed letters, and they are eligible.
Right. So do you want to take it up here now?
We can move to approve. Okay, those two.
One second.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsak?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ober?
Aye.
And that was Zell. All right. So also Mr. Kopsak, Grenada Fire Protection District, there are three full-term positions and one short-term position that I have nobody's
You haven't
emailed.
Heard from anybody? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you'd bring those back, that would be great. Mr. Harris, again, we have Hornbrook Fire Protection, two full term and one short term.
I think that's me.
Oh, is that you? I'm sorry. I made notes.
I don't have anyone.
Okay, so if you would see if you can check in with them.
Okay.
Grenada Sanitation District for full term and short term. Mr. Kopsak, that'd be five altogether.
Nobody. You haven't heard from anybody.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
If our office has, they typically would email it or send it to me, and I haven't seen it
yet.
And then also Callahan Water District and Sawyers Bar. Callahan has two full terms and three short terms, so all five of them. And then Sawyers Bar is just one full term. If you have any, get anybody to get a hold of us. Hey, we need this done. So if we could continue the rest to the October 21st, would be great.
Let's continue.
I don't necessarily need a motion, just that your chair says it's okay.
I said it's okay.
All righty, so we should be good to go for now.
Okay. 7C, Office of Emergency Services. Mr. Chanel.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Brian Shoney, Office of Emergency Services, looking to bring back to extend the emergency deck regarding the illegal pesticides.
Move to extend.
Second.
Wendy?
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Excuse me, Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre?
Aye.
And that was to extend.
Yes.
Thank you.
Item 8A, review status of local emergency related proliferation of illegal cannabis.
And this is the one that the chair was, or the clerk was directed to bring back. I don't know if anybody was going to be giving a report or not, but it's up to the board to tell us to extend it or not.
Wishes of the board?
Move to extend.
Second.
All righty, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre?
Aye.
8B, Supervisor Howe and Community Development. Do we have Mr. Dean?
Yes. Let's start this off.
Good morning.
I'm going to kick this off and then turn it over to Mr. Dean. Having our share of emergencies in District 5 brings opportunities to uncover things that are just really a pain in the neck. So that's why I request that we take a look at this. One of the things that continues to occur are all of our ordinances regarding land uses and land use activities are predicated on something that's permanent in nature. And jumping through the hoops for something temporary in nature to respond to an emerging issue is really difficult and time consuming. The latest was the power pole replacement in Scott Valley. That's an emergency repair for Pacific Power to replace all the wooden power poles with steel in that valley. And as a result, a landowner came to me and wanted to use a portion of what is Ag 1 as a temporary storage for power poles, et cetera, to facilitate this operation. In order to do that, we have to go through a planning commission. We have to do probably CEQA. We have to do all the bells and whistles associated with changing the land use just for a temporary nature. We ended up with the help of our CAO, thank you, and the road department in facilitating this operation at one of the county yards in Scott Valley. But I would rather the power company spend their money on one of my businesses in Scott Valley and put that money into the economy there rather than have us facilitate that on county property. So as a result, that revenue is lost. And they had to start pretty quickly because of the contract, but our process was probably 6 months, maybe, to get through that, to facilitate that operation, which was prohibited. So it comes before us. There should be some discretion, I believe, in these types of situations that the director has authority to approve uses that are temporary in nature, that are not land altering long term in the county. And that's why I brought it before you today. I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Dean.
Yes, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Supervisor Howe, thank you for that conversation. Also, I think it's also big. We discussed also the Scott Valley Airport situation, emergency situations, and declarations. The incident with the phone company and so forth, that's kind of a long term.
Yeah, and just for everybody else, helicopter operations for fire emergencies over Scott Valley did not allow us to use the ag land adjacent to the heliport park helicopters on.
Frankly, we're a rural county, so we don't have a lot of property zone or enjoy it for industrial uses. And for years, fighting fires and so forth, there's been areas at land that, it's the go-to, that's where it needs to go. Farm Lane, for example, for camp, it's Ag 2 zone. So, staff is taking a look at other ordinances along those lines, specifically with Monterey County. So there's a pathway that we could go there. I would suggest, though, that we keep it to a declared emergency conversation so it doesn't get to the out. But we can work on bringing an ordinance forward to address that.
Through the chair, Haley Lang, planning director. I also want to note, as part of our general plan update and our zoning code process, something we are looking at is ramping up the temporary use permit process and having more allowances with that, where it would be approvable by the community development director or planning director, so an administrative process that wouldn't have to be noticed through hearings and go through planning and have a little bit more longevity in terms of approval. So those timelines would be, you know, a month turnaround versus a couple month turnaround. So that's also something to be aware of. That is what we will be presenting in a few coming months related to temporary uses. Those are really, really common throughout other agencies as well.
What would temporary be? 30 days, 60 days?
Whatever the local agency wants to decide, right? So sometimes it's 60 days, a year, 2 years. And so it really just depends on the local needs. So that's something we can take a look at to personalize.
So is there a differentiation between declaration of emergency versus temporary use?
Yes.
And how those permitting processes are, and how those come into play?
Yes, and we would want both models, right? Because they're two different situations. Temporary use, think temporary contractor's yard. There's something that they know that's coming in the coming months, but it's temporary in nature in the sense that you don't need to set something up permanently. We want that allowance as well, that flexibility. But also, if there's a declared emergency, someone needs to get in, get work done, you know, health and safety issues, things like that, we also want that process as well for people.
Yeah, well, I would support both,
okay.
Because using the Klamath on fire as an example in 2017, we're still dealing with recovery operations, and I wouldn't want to hold an emergency declaration in place for 7 years. That's just not workable. And we don't know all the time afterward what contract's going to come in that's facilitating recovery,
right,
or when that timing is going to occur.
I like the fact that there is a clear delineation between the two, but temporary can be variable.
Yes.
It could be a month, you know, an up and down thing, just like, you know, bringing in power poles for a project that has a clear, you know, up and down kind of a situation where they're going to be in and out of an area within 2 months or 6 months or 2 weeks, but they need a storage facility.
Right.
Versus, you know, a declaration of emergency that we have an imminent danger to public safety, whatever, there's a fire, we need to get this done right now.
Yes.
So, clear delineation between the two. I'm okay with that. Get it. Anything else on the board?
I'm good with it, but keep it simple, please.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay.
Don't give us a whole nother bureaucracy. Just give us the one.
My overarching direction, if there is any, would be to reduce your workload.
Yeah.
You know, through this process.
For sure.
Reduce the phone calls I have to make to you.
Yeah, it's my goal is to simplify it.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We're good.
So is it consensus of the board for the community development to bring back an ordinance, possible ordinance?
A possible ordinance.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item C, discussion direction, possible action, request schedule a public hearing to withdraw from the Siskiyou Transportation Agency. Joint Powers Agreement.
Good morning, Chair Ogren,
good
members
good
of
morning.
The board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. In 2024, the Siskiyou Transportation Agency was formed through a joint powers agreement in order to become the Siskiyou County Regional Transportation Provider. I know, I'm going to use a lot of words here, so hang in there with me. So, that is also known as the STA JPA. So that joint powers agreement consisted of the county, cities, and the local transportation commission. Those agencies are together as the Siskiyou Transportation Agency. So, stipulated within the JPA is the process in which the dissolution of the Siskiyou Transportation Agency can be completed. I received inquiries, fast forward to today, I received inquiries about how do we go about dissolving the Siskiyou Transportation Agency, or how do we go about withdrawing from the Siskiyou Transportation Agency as a county. And so what that would entail is a public hearing. In that public hearing, the decision would be made to withdraw from the STA. Once that public hearing is held and that decision is made, that immediately initiates the dissolution of the Siskiyou Transportation Agency. That process can take, in the JPA it states 120 days, but realistically we're looking anywhere from 120 days to 6 months that it could potentially take, because there's a lot of nuts and bolts involved, right? There's the distribution of assets, it's the funding, the liabilities, everything has to be disseminated, as well as the recommendation would be if the STA chooses to go forward with the prior model, MOUs with each city for the Siskiyou County to become the transportation provider through stage. That was the prior model before the STA was formed. However, the STA member agencies have the ultimate responsibility of deciding what that model looks like if the STA is dissolved. For instance, it could return, the consensus of the member agencies could return to the prior model where Siskiyou County is the transportation provider through stage, or the cities could say, you know what, we actually want to be our own providers for our jurisdictions, and then the funding would be allocated as necessary or as needed. So, in essence, the first step would be to withdraw through a public hearing if that's the pleasure of the board, and then that would immediately initiate the dissolution of the Siskiyou Transportation Agency. The responsibility then would transfer to the Transportation Agency as to what model of provider that they have a consensus for, and then we would start going down that path. So, that is the overview. I am seeking just a discussion. If you prefer to actually go down the path of a public hearing, that would be direction to staff to have that scheduled, and we will move down that path. So I turn it over to the board for any questions or addition to the discussion.
Comments from the board?
Sure. We learned at the last meeting of that agency that part of the way to dissolve that the new entity was for one of the members to begin exactly what we're talking about here.
Correct.
Today. And so because of the time element, I thought it was more efficient to just at least start this process on whether the board goes down that path or not, to at least initiate a public hearing for withdrawal. This started where, as a commission member, I think myself and most of us believe that when we moved to this new entity, we were removing ourselves from the county entity part in the old LTC model, which did not occur. We actually doubled, we made a whole new bureaucracy with the potential of a new executive director, but also hiring another attorney. So we're duplicating effort and not services. So at least from my perspective, it's let's go back to the old model. Cities are represented, counties was represented. It was working. We just thought that by going to this new model, we were going to become more efficient and remove ourselves from the county, and we'd be all on our own, but that did not occur. From my perspective, it's complicated and made less efficient what we're doing. So that's at least my say in what we're, you know, why this should be at least thought about, and I support, you know, going down the public hearing.
Yeah, I have to agree. You're spot on. I think what we did is we overcomplicated what we thought was going to be a more streamlined, more efficient process. And we've got to learn from our mistakes. And I think it's just a matter of stepping back and then let that process play out. Think about how we would evolve, if you will. Mm-hmm. It was at least working.
Yeah.
And the cities were still represented.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So.
And who knows? Maybe the cities, if this goes down the path, maybe they would take it on. You know, that would be a whole different animal, right?
That is a possibility because it would have to be the consensus of the member agencies. Again, that's completely separate from you as a board. That is within the realm of responsibility for the Siskiyou Transportation Agency member agencies to make that decision and consensus as to how to move forward. But you're right.
This does give the cities an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
To take a look at it when they really didn't have that opportunity before, mm-hmm. just hand it to them.
And at least they would have that. Now, you know,
right.
And I would expect them to have a say one way or another.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, yes, so Supervisor Hout.
If the cities decide to do their own transportation within their jurisdiction, mm-hmm. then the county would remain the connectivity between.
That would be a decision based upon the member agencies. They would have, and I can't speak for the Siskiyou Transportation Agency and what their thought process would be. It would be something that would be initiated as soon as the public hearing was completed that Siskiyou County is withdrawing as a member agency. That immediately initiates the dissolution process, which then that step is to have that discussion as to what model of provider that the member agencies would be in consensus with. So I can't speak to what they, but that's a possibility.
I have a lot of unincorporated areas that are currently served.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So there's a potential they wouldn't be served?
No, that would never be our intent. Harming, that's the whole idea of the transition period of when you initiate the dissolution, why in the joint powers agreement there was a 120-day statement was to ensure that there was seamless transition, that there would be no harm in transportation services to any area of the county. However, in discussion, it more than likely is not going to be just 120 days. It may take up to 6 months to ensure the seamless transition so that our ridership won't be harmed in any way.
Okay. Ridership
shouldn't change at all. Services should be provided no matter what.
The only unique thing I see in this, as we talk about what the cities could take on, is we've always had difficulty getting to East County. They have no services. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's an opportunity there for one of them to, you know, pick it up. I don't know. I'm just saying, but we've never been able to get out that far. So, anyway.
And through the chair, Natalie Reed, County Council, just one small clarification. So after you hold a notice public hearing, then you're going to issue a written notice to the agency. And within that notice, you're going to provide an effective date for your withdrawal. And that effective date has to be at least 120 days, but can be longer to facilitate, you know, a transition.
I was going to say, there's no hurry. It doesn't have to, you know, I want this to be methodical. I don't want the cities to proceed like we're doing something nefarious, you know.
No. Trying to save some dollars here to get back into services.
Yeah. Increase services.
Yeah. So do you need a motion to the hearing? Is that correct?
I would like direction to staff.
Direction or
motion?
Motion
probably would be the most preferred method. I don't know if that was in the...
I'm looking here. I'm sorry.
Possible action, yes. So
I would move that we...
to the chair. So if you aren't going, you know, really fast with this, you might want to set your public hearing further out to allow staff, you know, to be prepared for the hearing and to be able to advise you on, you know.
And
I think
right now,
when's the next available?
Timing, the earliest would be the November 18th, which we recently set as the next regular meeting. So nothing earlier than
November
18th.
That's what I assumed. So November 18th would be the date of the public
hearing. I'm looking here. You want a motion to the effect of setting a public hearing on November 18th?
Correct.
Which is
that would be my motion.
Okay.
Rescheduled November 4th.
Yes.
Meeting.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Thank you. All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Hough?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseth?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakley?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item 9. So we're going to recess as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. And item A is public comment. Do we have any public comment in the room? Is there any online?
None online.
Okay, moving on to item B. That's going to be the VCE assignees activities and current operation status of Lake Siskiyou Campground.
Good morning, Supervisors. Adam Filipponi, Director of General Services for Siskiyou County. This morning, I brought Highway West in to give you guys a little operational status update of the Lake Siskiyou Campground. They are the current lease assignees, taken over for rentals last year. If JD want to come up, I don't know if he's bringing the rest of the team. This is JD. He is the
president.
Yes, president of Highway West Vacations.
He's out.
Yep.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for having us, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is. excuse me. I'm also getting over a cold, so if I cough, please indulge me. My name is JD Carboni. And I represent Highway West Vacations and now the Lake Siskiyou Camp Resort. I'm joined today by a few of my team members, Trevor, Sarah, and Rick, who will come up and present to you in a few minutes here. As Adam mentioned, we were fortunate enough to be approved as the new lessee for the Lake Siskiyou Camp Resort, I believe in the end of March of 25. This is our first formal presentation. We just wanted to provide a quick update on who we are as a business and also how it's been going so far through our first season of operations. So there is a presentation. You also have a deck in front of you, so I'll just flip through it as we go here. So at a high level, Highway West is based in Southern California, but we operate properties throughout the entire western U.S. as well as a few in New Hampshire. We are affiliated with a much larger organization that owns and operates real estate nationally. We operate residential buildings, apartment buildings, commercial buildings, hotels, and we also develop from the ground up. Highway West is a family-owned business that is the smallest part of our overall portfolio, but represents what is, one of the more passionate parts of what we do as a business and why we're really excited to be part of the Siskiyou community and the greater Mount Shasta area. As I mentioned, my name is JD. I am the president of Highway West and Redtail, but we'll focus on Highway West today. Highway West as a whole is 18 properties strong. We operate about 2,500 accommodations, primarily a mixture of RV sites, traditional motel and hotel units, as well as glamping type of accommodations, including safari tents, park models, vintage airstreams, and marinas. So for us, Lake Siskiyou is a really natural fit for our portfolio and why we're excited to have it in our control. Across the board, we're about 600 employees. That includes both the on-site operations as well as the corporate support for Highway West. We collect about $70 million annually of revenue, and we serve more than 800,000 guests every year. The Google rating across our portfolio is an average of 4.3, and something we focus on a lot to try and make sure our consumers have a great experience. We operate 12 different food and beverage outlets, So it's an integral part of our business and something that we believe services and improves upon our guest experience. The next slide, if you don't mind flipping to it, yet, is just a picture of our portfolio. You can see sort of our national presence, but we own two properties in Hawaii. I think it's up to 8 now in California, 1 in Southern Oregon, 1 in Idaho, 1 in Colorado, and a few in New Hampshire that we operate for a family out there. One of the things that we've always dreamed about, and we first spoke about with the county about a year ago, was the goal of connecting our Southern California portfolio all the way up through Washington State. We've now been able to do that up through Southern Oregon, and we hope to be able to expand that presence as we go forward. And the reason we think that's really important is because many of our guests like to and focus on these similar types of properties, and so we've been able to bring folks that found us in Southern California all the way up to Oregon, and hopefully going forward we'll be able to stop at Lake Siskiyou along the way. As much as I like to think I'm entertaining and good at speaking, there's actually a link in there, I don't know if you're able to click on it, in that right-hand side where it says see our portfolio. I'm hoping it'll show. It'll show us a brief video of what our marketing team has put together for our portfolio. Are you able to click on it?
It's thinking about it.
It's thinking. We'll give it a second. This is a brief overview of our different properties throughout the portfolio.
Apparently, it's not liking it.
Well, it's worth a shot. So we'll be able to get that to you at some point, or maybe be able to find it yourself. When we first came to Lake Siskiyou Camp Resort, we were told of some history there that was not particularly cordial between the county, the townspeople, its consumers, and the prior operator. And for us, we saw it as a big opportunity. Lake Siskiyou Camp Resort is one of those things that I grew up going to as a kid, and I think many of our other team members grew up going to a type of property like that as kids, where it holds a special place in our hearts. It's got some nostalgia, it's got a unique character. There's not many places like this throughout the West Coast, let alone the country, that have a private lake and 250 acres of pristine, Siskiyou County forest with a direct view of Mount Shasta. It's an irreplaceable location. And for us, we were really focused on rebuilding the relationship that the campground has with the community it serves. And it sounds unique, maybe novel or, what should have been sort of, in my opinion, commonplace. But the nice thing for us is it really fit how we tend to do business everywhere. We don't like to just be, parachute business people that come in and try and mold a park to what we want it to be. We want it to serve and be reflective of the community it sits in. So we focused a lot on trying to re-implement our core beliefs of a business or as a business. And so a few of the things are on the next slide there, it says who we are, is a reflection of what Highway West stands for. And Trevor and Sarah and Rick will speak to how we are able to do this at Lake Siskiyou in 2020. We are business oriented. We believe in making a fair profit. We want the park to be successful financially because that allows us to be a better community partner and to serve the guests that we have. We're also very focused on having an incredible guest experience because we know that oftentimes the folks that come to our park are families that have been coming here for generations. And they only will continue to come back and bring their kids and their grandkids if they have that same nostalgic experience. Thirdly, but certainly not least important, we want to be a good community partner because it's smart business. We believe that if the community does better, the campground will do better, and it's a collaborative and kind of a snowball effect where everyone just grows and improves, and we were able to find a few opportunities, which again, Sarah and Trevor will speak to in the 2025 season that we're really proud of, and we hope to be able to continue expanding there for the next three seasons. But just as a quick rundown, you know, we are family owned. We've been in business for over 40 years. We focus on buildings and properties that we can reposition because we believe that we have a history of being able to do it better than other people. So we'd rather find something that is broken in some capacity, that needs physical work or reputational work or operational improvements, because we believe that with our history and our experience, we'd rather build it ourselves than take something else that somebody's built for us. Because of our scale, we have very good access to capital. We have incredible relationships with the biggest banks in the world, in the country. And we operate over 185 properties around the country, 18 of which are hotels or hospitality type of locations. We are going through a portfolio-wide brand update. You know, one of the things that we realized, which is that orange column in the middle, we got into the glamping space about 20 years ago before it was cool. The first park that we bought was actually intended to be a residential single-family home redevelopment in 2005, which didn't get approved by the county it sat in. And so our owner, our founder, pivoted and created what is today Highway West. We've had that branding and been living the same values for 20 years, but because of now how competitive the space is and how consumer preferences have changed, we are now investing in a portfolio-wide rebranding, which is really focused on these five tenets in the middle here. So across the portfolio, we try and give our guests is, you know, to regain, so the highlights are regain your sense of wonder and feel like a kid again. We believe in reinvented destinations and unexpected locations. We want to be a gateway to nature and pure adventure. We have an easy and approachable culture, and we want you to come as you are. And we don't believe in having any two properties be the same. So it's one big family, but everyone is original and unique. You know, we couldn't have drawn it better for Lake Siskiyou Camp Resort to fit into this, which is already in the works, because that is a testament to what the campground is and could be for decades to come. You know, we'll talk about some more key examples for Lake Siskiyou in particular, but I want you to know that being a community partner is not just based on conversations and the feedback we got from the prior lessee, because these are things that our founder and the family that owns and operates us have believed in for the last 40 years. So we do have a scholarship program. Education is a very important value for our founder. We believe in career access, and we've started an internship program that I think started at maybe 10 college students and has now expanded to support over 100 students every summer, including high school age kids in different communities we operate in. We are environmentally focused. We have a dedicated green team that's focused on doing infrastructure improvements on our properties, low-flow devices, solar. I think we've installed about $6 million of solar projects across our portfolio this season, and other initiatives because, again, it's good for us, it's good for the community, it's just smart business, especially in the day and age we live in today. We believe in charitable giving and volunteerism. We have a volunteer day off for all of our team members that we encourage them to take. We're looking at expanding that program. And then, you know, this is actually something that is verbatim from our the matriarch of the family that owns us. She wanted to make sure that you all know that we're responsive and adaptable, which is not just being a good community partner, but how we operate as a business as a whole. Again, we don't want we don't want the properties to be based on us. We want the properties to be based on the communities and the guests they serve. And so we always want to pivot and adapt and provide the most effective and responsible type of support in business we can. And so that's a key tenet that I think resonates, especially in that vertical, but across the board as a whole. If you don't mind, go to the next slide. There's a few different opportunities for you to see. We've been able to operate for 15 to 20 years in some of these communities. We've been able to build some recurring community events, including the Wine and Chill Festival in Buellton, California. We have a great Halloween festival in New Hampshire, and then some other events up there that I mentioned, because, again, as we're able to operate in these communities for years and decades, we're able to create a history and repetitive event cycle that is really powerful. The next slide is just a few examples of us in the press. You know, I think it's indicative of the type of consumer we're going after today, the type of business that we think we can bring to Siskiyou in years to come. We've been able to get published in some of the largest news outlets out there, some of the largest periodicals, and I think that there's an opportunity for Mount Shasta and Lake Siskiyou to participate in that. With that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues, Trevor and Sarah, to give you an update on the 2025 season.
Good morning. It's our pleasure to be here. My name is Trevor Bridge, Regional Vice President for Iowa West Vacations. I oversee 7 properties, including Lake Siskiyou Camp Resort. And like JD said, I grew up in Colorado in the 1970s, and my dad would take us fishing and camping in these vast expanses. And when I walked on this property, I said, I've been here before. And I hadn't, but I had been there. And so it resonated with me in a way that, you know, makes me want to say thank you to this county and this Board of Supervisors and this community for preserving something that's by and large vanished from our modern culture. So yeah, that's the way we look at it, and that's the way I look at it every opportunity we have. I have a few updates from the past season. We did assume control the operations in April of 2025, so not too long ago. And, you know, there was a big learning curve. We had to learn a new property. It's, like JP said, 250 acres. It's not centrally located. There's no elevators. There's no back hallways like you get in traditional hotels. So you have to operate in a different kind of mindset. You have to say, how are we going to communicate? We've got people that are in their, you know, late teens to people, you know, that are approaching their 70s. And how can we all work as a team? So it takes a lot of, you know, lateral thinking. It takes a lot of sort of planning out. We did have some stops and starts with management. But we're the type of people that if something's not working, we don't just keep pushing forward through error. So we made changes when we could. We brought in other people. We brought in trainers to do daily huddles with our staff. And the daily huddles resonated in a way that people felt like there was this amazing sense of team. And they were communicating every morning rather than running around this campground trying to service these guests. So I'm going to go through a couple just brief statistics from the season. This season, we rented 13,914 RV sites, 11,026 pitch-your-own tent sites, 3,754 cabins. We had 2,370 marina boat rentals. We served 79,000 meals approximately, and that includes retail transactions. This totaled up to 4.7 million in sales, which translates into just under, you know, half a million in fees to Lake Siskiyou County through the lease agreement. So, you know, the numbers don't lie. You know, guests love this place. We had, I think I did a calculation, so for day use, 13 and over, we had 47,000 visitors. 12 and under, we had 94,748 visitors. We had a locals day, which Sarah will talk about, which we instituted. We had a total of 105,000 overnight reservations for a total of 248,000 visitors. 250,000 people visited the park this summer. So, like I said, numbers don't lie. It's a popular place. It's a treasure. And we just want to preserve it and do the best we can for the team that we hire, the community that we want to support, and the visitors that come from north, south, east, and west. I'd like to introduce Sarah Strickland. She is our current general manager. Sarah comes from a background of being an educator, a teacher. She also has experience in property management.
So if you don't mind, would you slide down? So you guys have heard all the numbers, you've heard all the amazing things Highway West has, but I just wanted to touch a little bit on the boots on the ground. because I've been there all summer. I've got to see all the stuff with my own eyes. This is our team that you've got in your packet too, but there's myself as a general manager. We've got an amazing operations manager. We've got a great facilities manager. And half of us grew up in Northern California. So we are all local. We are all very passionate about what Lake Siskiyou has and what it has to offer. And then, like you mentioned, some of the things that we got to do this summer, we had the Boys and Girls Club out. We got to collaborate, have them go fishing, give them free days. We've set up a Locals Day on Wednesday where all of our locals get to come out for free and enjoy their backyard. You know, we want them to be just as much of a part of it. We've been able to work with the Smart Center for, like, getting some of the locals out there working. You know, we want the college kids. We want the high schoolers. We want local residents to have just as much of a love and part of what we've got going on. As a teacher, former teacher, I did leave that field, but kids are my passion, so we've been so excited about all the things we've been able to do to bring them in, giving away free passes to local leaders for some of our underserved children so that they get to come out and learn to fish and have those experiences. It's very fulfilling. Highway West backs 100% all of this, so it's been so great as a person on the ground to be able to be like, hey, I want to do this, and they're like, let's do it. Let's make it happen. So we've just had an amazing summer as a team. Like you said, we had some bumps. We got them all figured out. We have a great staff going forward, and we are just ready to be part of the community and do some of those things that we saw that they're doing in other places. I'm super excited to bring them all here and get it going here also.
Great. Does anyone have any questions for either of us while we're here?
No questions, but
comments.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
I personally have already heard nothing but positive responses about experiences at Lake Siskiyou this past year. So thank you very much. We welcome your leadership in what you're going to do there. So, and however we can facilitate your need to do what you need to do to make it work even better, we're all ears.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
You guys just stick around.
Okay.
So we're almost there.
Yeah.
But while we have Sarah and Trevor, and Rick is patiently sitting back in the row there, but has been, I think, one of the longest tenured members of our team so far. Just publicly say thank you. It's not easy. I'm fortunate that, you know, we have a great team around us. But most of my days are not spent on site. They're spent visiting, meeting with folks. But the times that I do get to go on site and say hi to the teams and meet the guests, it's clear how much work goes into it. It's a hard business. And keeping people happy, especially a quarter of a million people that have different needs, different opinions, different views on life, and getting everyone to have fun in the same place is really challenging, but it's a challenge we love. And it's a challenge we hope to be able to continue for years to come. Sarah recently promoted, I think, a month ago, but has seen the operation through a different lens over the last season and was someone that Trevor rightfully identified as a star that really was someone making magic behind the scenes is now able to lead the campground through what we hope will be our first off season or our first shoulder season where we're operating. And you know, next season in the full swing, once we've been able to get our boots stabilized through this winter and ready for the reopening in May, we took over in April of 25, which was about 30 days ahead of the season opening, which, as you can imagine, was a lot to get done in a short period of time. So I think by the time September came around, we were actually ready to open and we'd already finished. So we're really excited for 26 and hopefully again the years to go. I guess the last thing I'll say publicly is just thank you all for trusting us to do this, and especially thank you to Adam and his team. It's been a really great experience. It's not often that public and private groups can get along as well as I think we have this summer, with as much as what's going on and the amount of improvements that were made at the park this season. Adam, Jessica, and Emily and the team have done an amazing job supporting us, and just couldn't be more grateful for how willing to listen and willing to help they've been, and I think we've got a pretty good relationship going, and we hope to continue it into 2026. The last slide up here just for what it's worth, you know, we do this a lot. We find opportunities in properties we've owned for a long time or new properties we acquire. And the way that we think about Lake Siskiyou is it's really, like I said earlier, an irreplaceable gem. And I think when it was developed in the 70s, it was fairly modern and pioneering for its time. I think for what it is today, it has the nostalgia of the 70s, and it could use improvement. And we hope that at some point we're able to have that conversation, because we think it should be looked upon as a draw for the area, not just for folks that have been here for generations in the past, but for new folks. I think if we can deliver the right type of accommodations in the right setting, which is already hard to replace, it's a huge opportunity for the county and for us as a whole. So whenever you want to have a conversation, we'd love to be a part of it.
So I just want to personally thank you. You know, we had a little pilot project there. I think it's in your ethos, your culture that you present work well, disadvantage you. We want to kind of maybe expand that a little bit. I've heard nothing but good, positive from the community. As you know, I live there in the city of Mount Shasta. Who will be a direct benefit of your expanding the operation? You know, I like the fact that you're looking for the college and the high school students to work out there. Again, I think it's a place that definitely has opportunity, but I would say win-win all across the board for the city, the county, and your operation in general. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Okay, with that, we will adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and move on to item 10, minute approval.
I have heard no corrections for those minutes.
Okay, for September 16th, we need our motions.
Move to approve.
Second.
Righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopstaff?
Abstain.
And Hope? And Supervisor Ober?
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 11, public hearings. First one will be Hayes County Administration. We will open the hearing. You're on, Missy.
Good morning. I believe still. I took my watch off. Haley Hudson, Deputy County Administrator. So for this public hearing, I have provided the board and the clerk with a replaced staff report because the vacancy rate table has been updated. Effective January 1st, 2025, AB 2561 added a new requirement for all public agencies in California to hold a public hearing at least once per fiscal year to present its status on job vacancies and efforts to recruit and retain employees. In alignment with new compliance requirements, Siskiyou County conducted a point-in-time analysis of vacancy rates across all bargaining units for the month of August of 2025. August was chosen because moving forward, the hearing will be held before the adopted budget hearing in September. In compliance with Assembly Bill 2561, now State of California Government Code, Section 3502.3, Siskiyou County will conduct the annual public hearings to report on job vacancies, recruitment strategies, employee retention efforts. During this current review period, vacancies varied across the units but showed staffing challenges in most bargaining units. The total aggregate vacancy rate for the county was 23%, and the table that was provided shows the breakdown for each bargaining unit. The county did not identify any necessary changes to existing policies, procedures, or recruitment activities that may have contributed to barriers in the hiring process. The updated staff report for this hearing included updates to the data for the Deputy Sheriff's Association. Five of the positions originally included in the data were identified to not be included in the vacancy rate calculation. Three of those positions were extra help positions, and extra help are not part of the requirement for Government Code Section 3502.3.
One correctional corporal position had been included. This position should be removed in the calculation as correctional roles are no longer being filled when they are vacated. One collateral correctional sergeant position was included. This was in place for an employee who has since retired with an industrial disability retirement, and so it should have been deleted at that time and will not be included in the vacancy rate calculations. With these adjustments, the accurate Deputy Sheriff's Association vacancy rate is 16%. This is good news as the vacancy rate improved over the initial 21%. The county continues to implement and explore the following measures for recruitment efforts. We are posting job openings across multiple recruitment platforms, utilizing specialized job boards, participating in job fairs, and continuing to evaluate recruitment timelines. Personnel staff does this in real time, almost weekly or monthly, depending on the needs of the department. Additionally, we continue to support career development and internal mobility by enhancing training and development programs, supporting employees in obtaining professional certifications, promoting tuition reimbursement, and encouraging to facilitate internal career advancement. The county also fosters open and transparent communications among staff and supervisors and county administration, providing regular constructive feedback to employees, maintaining programs such as the Employee Excellence Award, and continuing to honor long-term service through the new 20-year retiree program. Employee wellness programs are also a top priority, continuing to offer access to employee assistance programs. There are now two that are part of and available to all employees. Additionally, we support work-life balance through flexible scheduling options. I am open and available for any questions that the board may have at this time.
Just a comment. I think I was relatively surprised about the amount of vacancies we have throughout the county family, but I will say this, talking to a lot of my peers, we're not the only ones in that position. And then you go outside public, you know, just general business or whatever, they're all struggling with employment.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, presentation of correspondence.
The clerk's level, we've received no correspondence.
Thank you. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff, other county departments, or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Any in the room? Any online?
None online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room? Any online?
None online.
Public comment? Any in the room? Any online?
None online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room? Any online?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room? Any online?
None online.
We are going to close the hearing and have discussion by members of the board.
I know we focus on wages a lot, but I want to reiterate, I think that we need to continue to focus on morale. That's huge, and that's huge in any workforce. I would like to see us ramp up training. I know Public Works personally, I did a round of training when I entered, and I think they're finally starting to kind of pick that back up, but I think we need to really, within the county, create some succession plans, like start building our, future supervisors and our future administrators from within. And I think that in the past, we haven't done well with that. We've always had to outsource for a certain qualified individual or something like that. And I think that, between those two things, I think we can make the county better. I mean, we're always going to have the, fiscal issues and things like that, and, the bargaining over the wages and whatnot. That's always going to exist, but I think that, we can really focus on building our people, building them up, and improving morale, and I think we need to become more creative in that. So that's just my two cents on retention and bringing people in.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Okay.
We don't need a motion, we're just receiving it?
That's my understanding, okay. Yes. Okay, so with that, if there aren't any other comments, we will thank you and move on. We're closed with the hearing, so we're done.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item B, community development planning. We're going to hear about Title 10, Chapter 10 of the Siskiyou County Code regarding flood damage prevention, updating the floodplain management regulations.
Good morning. I'm Seth Perry. I'm the floodplain administrator for the county. I'm here for the first reading of the new floodplain ordinance, which is meant to replace Title 10, Chapter 10 of the Siskiyou County Code. Over the last year, FEMA has been updating the flood mapping here in Siskiyou County, specifically in Scott Valley. All those maps have been redone with LiDAR scanning. That mapping project has since concluded. As a result, in order to remain in compliance with the National Flood Insurance Program, the county is required to update our ordinance to include the new maps, among other requirements that are required by FEMA. December 11th of 2025 is our deadline to adopt the new flood ordinance. We were sent letters back in June from FEMA. I have written a new draft ordinance, which has been conditionally approved by FEMA and the State Water Board. The Siskiyou County Planning Commission held a notice of public hearing on this matter and recommends approval. The notice of today's hearing was duly posted and no public comments have been received. With regard to CEQA, adoption of this ordinance is exempt under the common sense exemption and other exemptions related to protection of natural resources and the environment. Recommendation at this time, I'm recommending that the board introduce, waive, and approve the first reading. It is also recommended that the board direct the clerk to set a continued public hearing and second reading for October 21st, 2025. Following this timeline, we'll ensure that the county remains in compliance with the National Flood Insurance Program. Thank you. I'm open for questions.
Okay. Presentation of correspondence?
Nothing at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online?
None online.
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence in the room. Any online?
None online.
Public comment in the room. Any online?
None online.
Rebuttal by proponents in the room. Any online?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents in the room. Any online?
None online.
We will not close the hearing.
Correct, and please continue to the 21st.
Okay, we can put that on the calendar for the 21st. Discussion by members of the board. Okay.
Question I have is there some place, a webpage where we can see the maps?
Yes, FEMA has them posted online in there. They're not approved yet. They won't become active until December 11th.
Can you send us a link?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can send you a link. Yeah, I'll send you the link.
And then the other question I have was the Scott Valley area plan also has floodplain descriptions in it. So does this revise the Scott Valley area plan, or is this a layer on top of it? You know, how does that work?
I'm not sure about that. Okay.
Haley Lane, planning director. It would essentially act as a layer on top of it, right? So two separate issues, per se. We're required by FEMA to have this floodplain zoning code as written. And so we would maybe have to double check to make sure if there's any inconsistencies. But, you know, the general plan is supposed to, or the Scott Valley area plan informs the zoning code. So they're essentially two different tiers.
Yeah, what I'm particularly interested in is there's very limited industrial land in the Scott Valley area.
Right.
And some of it could or would be maybe the floodplain. And so if it is diminished, that's pretty important to know from a planning perspective in Scott Valley. That's why I was asking for the maps as well.
Sure. Sure, yeah, we'll take a look to see if there's any issues with that.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
Okay.
All righty, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Thank you. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oak?
Aye. Okay, moving on to item C, Community Development Planning Division will open up the continued public hearing to consider the resolution directing staff to issue notice of non-renewal for substandard parcels. And that's going to be, I would have averted that.
Just to make sure we're on the right one, is this the Frieden?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Bernadette, you're on.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. This is a continued hearing from September 16, 2025. Staff has no additional information and no changes to the recommended motion for this project.
Okay, presentation of correspondence.
I don't believe we've had any at the clerk's level, but let me double check.
Through the chair.
We had letters from earlier. I believe it was the very first go around, nothing in addition to those.
Are we continuing this or are we hearing it today? Because I had phone calls with regard to these and I was told that these were going to be continued. So what are we doing?
Yes. They can be continued.
Yes, but if you're going to go through this hearing process with public hearing, I have people that wanted to speak to this, but I told them not to show up.
Through the chair, Haley Lang. Yeah, we were told that these were going to be continued, so we had gone up with the intention to verbally continue them. Okay. So
do we need to go through the protocol is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, let's.
So we've opened the public hearing, and if the board desires to continue it, then a member can make a motion to have the hearing continue to a date certain.
I'll make the motion.
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay. Do we have a date in mind, or we just?
I would recommend in December, just to give it.
We could go to January if you so desire.
December sounds good to the planning department, but if you prefer a different date, we're
December.
Yeah. First meeting.
First meeting.
Yeah. And I would hope that we would make a decision at that point. I mean, to keep continuing something does that make practical sense in my estimation?
Okay.
So just to verify that Supervisor Haupt and Supervisor Kopseth made motion to continue this to the first regular meeting in December.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. Okay. And then item D will open that hearing. Bernadette.
Thank you. Bernadette Sisson, Associate Planner. This is the Martin project that was continued from September 16, 2025. Staff did receive additional information from the applicant and modified the soils profile that was in the first staff report. That's in a supplemental staff report that you received. Also, Mr. Martin provided information on potential irrigation to the property that had historically occurred, and so that is also in that supplemental report. Even with that information, staff has not changed its recommendation, and we would suggest also continuing this project to the December 2nd board meeting. Thank you.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Good. And we will stop right there and have that continued.
Also to the first December meeting?
Correct.
Thank you. All right, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oak?
Aye. Would you like to do board and staff reports now before we go into closed?
I have nothing to report. Sorry, I wasn't trying to cut in on
you. No, that's, you take precedence, absolutely. Angela Davis, County Administrator. I just wanted to announce, and I'm not sure if Supervisor Valenzuela will have this on his list, but I just wanted the board to be aware that Supervisor Valenzuela was elected to the Executive Board of Prison. So we have a direct line on prison, which is incredibly important to the county.
Does that mean less on our rates?
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. That's why I'm bringing it up.
That is the ultimate goal. And in all seriousness, it is it's critically important to all counties. The rates are going up. And one of the things I learned, the biggest, is public safety is the biggest driver for claims, if you will. I feel that's my goal, is to find a way to reduce the cost to this county, all counties in particular. So.
Thank you for doing that. Okay, with that, you get to go next, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure. Back on the 23rd, we did an AT&T computer giveaway. I know Supervisor Hogan, you were up here in Wairika. I did the event down in Mount Shasta. It was for the seniors again this year. This is the second time we've been able to do that, and I'll continue to pursue that for as long as I'll give away computers. I did attend last week the PRISM conference that was down in San Diego. Was elected to the executive board. I was missing something else here. Hold on. We did attend the RCRC annual meeting, which was wildly successful. Do you remember how much the basket got? I thought it was
2,400.
Yeah, it was very significant. Yeah, which was, I'm grateful for that. Thank you to all the people that donated to that. And then I had a CMSP meeting on the 24th. It was down in Sacramento, where again, the potential effects to the county could be significant. That's it.
Supervisor Howe?
I attended the Wairika Beef and Brew, Catwoman's Beef and Brew, and the Aetna FFA banquet Saturday, and I will be speaking at the Conservative Women's Forum on Thursday. And that's it.
Okay. Supervisor Thompson?
I attended the Klamath Water Users Harvest Tour into Lake in Klamath Falls, which, if anyone hasn't done that, you should do that just to see some of the operations and the processing centers that they have for food that actually gets to us, because it comes out of that region. It's pretty fascinating.
It's a great tour. Supervisor Harris.
On the 27th, I was at the Family Fun Day at the Siskiyou County Museum, the Beef and Brew that night, and then I was also on the Klamath Water Users Harvest Tour.
Okay, here we go. I was at the Climate Collaborative little meeting that happened yesterday with the contractor called Dauber. This is in conjunction with the EDC, and we toured on Minor Street and talked about all kinds of different things that can affect not only the whole county, but specifically Wairika, and looking forward to changes around here with money that's being brought in through the EDC. They worked really hard to kind of change the perspective, not only of the county, but of what Wairika can look like. And this contractor did some really great work to kind of change the perspective here. Had a meeting with Director Bonham and his staff the Wolf Liaison and Sheriff LaRue last Friday. That was a good hour-long conversation. COC meeting. Siskiyou Regional Wood Utilization Workshop in McLeod with Laurel Harkness's group, Rural Voices for Conservation Coalition. And I didn't get to tour the McLeod Millworks. I had another meeting to go to. but it was facilitated by Rural Development Initiatives, and there were 50 people there. It was really interesting. A lot of good work being done there. The laptop giveaway, NCRP executive board meeting. We're getting ready for our quarterly meeting, the 16th and 17th here. There should be somewhere around 150 people here. CalAFCO annual meeting planning. That meeting is going to be in San Diego, the 23rd, 24th, 25th. I attended the Beef and Brew, attended the RCRC annual meeting, and that auction for Modoc County brought in over $100,000.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. Included a little fluffy cow that went for over $8,000.
Snuck one in. Huh?
Leave it to Supervisor Bone.
Yeah. It was comical.
Pretty comical.
Because someone had to clean up the mess.
He's
not going to live that one down.
It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's been my couple of weeks. So, with that, we will go into closed session.